This is 69 the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry for more than 11 years now, first online and now as a podcast. We cover what's new and interesting, and we filter out all the BS. This podcast gives listeners a chance to hear at length from people and companies who are making a real mark in the industry with new ideas or just old-fashioned hard work and smarts. You can listen to episodes online, get it from iTunes or Google Play, or use your favorite podcast app to pull down the RSS feed. We now have a companion podcast called Projects, hosted by my longtime industry friend, Michael Tutton. That show is all about digging deep on the creative and tech behind some landmark projects. 69 is sponsored and supported by ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. A lot of companies have come in and out of video analytics for digital signage, but the one constant has been Kvity, a French company with a product a lot of people will tell you is the gold standard for this technology. I sat with CEO Kay Quang Nguyen Phuc during a break at ISC a few weeks ago and got the rundown on the company and what's going on with this technology now and in the future. We talk about the distinction between face recognition and face detection and what the technology can do for network operators and brands. We also get into the insights delivered by audience analytics, including how long people really look at screens and what screens generate the least attention. So, Kay Quang, I've known about your company and known you for a good long time now, but for people who maybe don't know that much about Kvity, give me the rundown on the company itself, where you're based, how many people working for you, your extended elevator pitch.
Sure. So we are a French company. We're based in Paris. You've probably known us from quite some time now because we actually celebrate our 10th birthday this year. It's been actually a long road, starting in the video analytics world. More exactly, we call that anonymous video analytics. So that's the capability to be able to tell from a video camera how many people are around, if they're male, female, the gender, the demographic, and how engaged they are to a point of interest. Mm-hmm. The applications are quite varied, namely communication, advertisement, and more, I would say recently, understand basically who's behind the screen and basically how to monetize a message.
Mm-hmm. Now, there have been a number of companies involved in this space and more keep coming into it. I can think of three or four that were around 10 years ago, and I think you're the last guy standing.
That probably means something. I mean, we're honored to be the last guy.
And why? What did you do that's different?
What did we do different? Well, we were very resistant, persistent. We believed in our idea and in the very strong foundation that honesty and transparency needs to be king. Obviously, it took us a long time to prove that honesty should be the way to go, but it's now a common problem when you look at the saying of every single advertisers. More recently, advertisers complained that, hey, you know, I'm putting a budget for advertisement and I have no clue who's, you know, if my money actually is worth something.
Yeah.
So basically, Kvity is standing behind accountability and transparency. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, it's taken a long time, but we're there. We actually managed to go, we were very early, obviously, in our thoughts, way too early on the market. But in the last few years, it sounds like the market has actually come around to get to understanding about this accountability. And we're here to hopefully take the fruits of this this philosophy.
So you could have replaced that description with digital signage in general.
Very much.
It's only been in the last two or three years when it seems to have matured to a point where you don't have to explain what it is. You don't have to explain the value proposition to kind of get it.
Absolutely.
Have you been challenged? Because I still hear it. I still read it all the time. Challenged to properly position and explain what the heck it is that you do versus how it's presented. Because I constantly read companies saying we do facial recognition.
Right.
And I try to tell them that's not what you do.
Absolutely. Well, facial recognition is actually recognize somebody. I recognize your Dave.
Yeah.
Right.
Out of a database.
Exactly.
And where did that come from?
It will come from a understanding actually your biometrics and matching them. So basically today, if you look at the machine learning capabilities of the giants of the world, the Facebook, the Microsoft, the Google, yes, they have capabilities to actually recognize people. and that's, you know, pretty recent technology. We're not quite there. We're not quite doing that. And that's for several reasons. First one is like, you know, why have doing something that doesn't have any value when somebody else is doing it? And the second one is, we believe in our philosophy that, privacy is quite important. Of course, if you do face recognition with opt-in, that's quite a different story. Mm-hmm. But for our application, face detection is about understanding statistics, metadata, completely anonymous metadata about interest, engagement of people. And from that, being able to first, help out basically the interaction with its interaction on screen.
And in lay terms, what that means to somebody who's not very technical at all is you have a camera associated with a screen, typically, that's scanning the crowd in the immediate area and capturing and bracketing faces that are looking in the direction of the screen, and using the geometry, unique geometry to, and machine learning, as you say, to go, okay, that's male, that's female. They were looking for 3.5 seconds and it's logging all that. And
that's correct.
Yeah.
It's doing that in real time and it's doing that all the time without recording any image.
Right.
And that's actually a specificity of that. The technology never record any image or any personal data.
Right.
It does.
So you capture it, it gets thrown out.
Actually does processing on the fly.
Yeah.
And the only thing which is coming out are actually statistics, anonymous metadata.
Mm-hmm. But it's problematic when people are saying it's facial recognition because it's presumably freaking a lot of people out.
That's correct. I mean, face in general is something which is very personal and very emotional. Mm-hmm. And science fiction in general hasn't been kind to this kind of technology either. Mm-hmm. You know, the first thing that comes to mind is the Minority Report thing. It's not about that.
Yeah.
And
yet that gets trotted out every time anybody
exactly.
talks about this stuff.
So, I mean, there's a lot of fantasies that come out. I think we've passed, actually, this phenomenon. And, you know, there's when we explain to privacy commissions or privacy regulations that, yes, we don't record data or any video, mm-hmm. then it's a different set of different mindset and different game.
Yeah. And is there still an issue? I remember when this technology first came out, there was a fair amount of fuss about it and some suggestions that if you're using face pattern detection software, you should have some sort of a sign or notice declaring that this is what we're doing.
Right. We actually recommend our customers say, hey, we are conducting a marketing study. We're using that user's video. No images recorded. Any questions, please ask your manager mm-hmm. of this place. So it is actually advised to do it.
Has it ever been an issue?
No.
No. But it's just best practice to do.
No, it's best practice. People actually tend to understand that because, the idea is that also this technology allows you to do better communication, interactive communication, and more experiential type of communication.
Mm-hmm.
You may have seen, actually, we did a campaign, actually, work with Posterscope and for General Motor in the U.S., actually, where basically there was a interaction of people from a video, and basically there was several hundred scenarii possible, depending if the people were close by, if they were male, the female, they came as a family. If they stay that much time, then eventually the system would propose a game, staring contest, mm-hmm. et cetera, and the screen would react completely depending on the context. That's what we call context-aware scenario. So, of course, people are aware that there is some kind of intelligence and some
right.
kind of a camera over there, and this actually are quite enjoying this interaction.
Because it's playful as opposed
because
to nefarious.
Exactly.
And I've always been curious if you've got this real-time capability and that data can trigger content based on the scenario as you describe it. What happens when you have two people side by side, one who's male and happy
sure.
and young female frowning or whatever? How does it decide what to do?
It's decide what you're asking to do. So basically, we've designed a platform called VidiStudio, mm-hmm. Which allows the creation of smart content, which reacts to its context.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you are able to tell him, hey, if there's a male, do this, and if there's a female, do that. However, on top of that, you are able to block a person is going to talk to,
mm-hmm.
because you don't want to interrupt the experience of this person. So as long as this person is still interacting with your scenario, then the system will not react to the other conditions of female that are around. So that's an extra added value, and it's all about experiential. You want to actually have a complete immersive experience for the person that's coming to the screen and not being interrupted by other events which are coming.
That capability, in a first meeting, I'm guessing that when you explain that, the person on the other side of the table, their mind is slightly blown and thinking, this sounds incredibly complicated. But I gather you're saying you've got a software studio that makes that, reasonably easy. Simple.
Exactly, and makes the experience go all the way along for one single person without being interrupted, no matter how other events may happen and interrupt this experience.
But an agency or a digital signage operator, whatever it may be, they don't need to be a data scientist. They just need to know how to use a little bit of software.
It's pretty much web designer who's going to design a website or an application, and basically this application is going to reside on your screen. Mm-hmm. And we make it very simple so that basically in a few clicks, by defining what he wants the tool to do, the content generated will react as described.
Okay. And what's the breadth of what you offer? Obviously software. Is there hardware? Is it sold on a service basis? That stuff.
So we are on a license basis. Mm-hmm. It's pure software. We've always made sure the value of Quvidi actually is really trying it to be being a full industrial solution that works for, if not all cases, most cases. Mm-hmm. Works on any software, on the OS, any kind of machine, and basically is easy to deploy and replicate. Just so you know the magnitude, we deployed actually 1,500 screens through our partners integrators on the other end of Australia, and I was kind of breathed. Was done a few weeks. Mm-hmm. So it's a software, but it's also all the elements, mm-hmm. technical elements that would go along, meaning like a back office, mm-hmm. Meaning all the interfaces, API that will allow you to actually transfer and work on the data.
And what are users installing at the edge of the network? Is it a webcam?
Camera. We work on standard standard hardware. So basically, both camera could be a very, very common.
Little USB Logitech camera, webcam, camera, whatever.
Exactly. And a regular player, media player, or PC, pretty much.
And can your software coexist with digital signage playout software?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Or is that the typical way it's done?
That's exactly the typical way, because you want actually, the important thing is that it is an industrial solution that is affordable. You don't want to be able to be playing something and then you need an extra equipment to do audience measurement, to do audience triggering, to do anything. So you want everything to reside on the same piece of hardware. And that's what's making advantage. It's kind of easy to deploy and obviously affordable.
Is it fairly light in terms of an application, or does it mean if you're using an i3, now you have to go to an i5? Or
we designed actually the application since the beginning to be fairly light. Mm-hmm. We actually even so yes, we work on both i3, i5, i7. Basically, are able monitor and measure several screens mm-hmm. out of that. So that's actually pretty useful. When you run a CMS on a double screen and you need to actually measure the two screens with one single computer.
Right.
There's a bunch of costs involved in putting this podcast together, so I'm very grateful for the support this podcast will get from our new and sole sponsor, ScreenFeed. Here's founder and CEO, Jeremy Gavin.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. As content people, we love great content, and we think Dave's doing a great job with this 69 podcast, which is why we've offered to sponsor it. If you'd like to see the content that we create on a daily basis, head over to screenfeed.com and check it out. Let us know if we can help you in any project you're working on. And do me a favor, if you don't find what you're looking for, shoot me an email at jeremy@screenfeed.com. I'm always interested in new ways we can help. Now back to the podcast.
Do you have networks where it's your solution is deployed at every node, so to speak, at every screen versus... we'll do a few of these so we can get a reference example or sample of the data we want.
Absolutely. So, we started actually when we started Quvidi, a lot of people actually started sampling data and measure a few points here and there and saying, I have a know-how and a vague idea of what's the traffic, mm-hmm. what's the attention. And over the years, actually, we've been fortunate that a number of networks have trusted us to deploy on whole the 100% of their screens. that's the case of, for example, Gran Stazione in Italy, where we measure all the railway station of Rome, Torino, Venice. We've done that with Amscreen in the UK. We've done that with Pilot TV in Taiwan. We've done so. There's a number, fair number of screens. And what's helping or porting us today is basically the need to understand, to have collect data on every single screen out there, to be able to program things and monitor and, you know, invoice basically revenues from an advertising screen.
Okay. So has that been kind of the big moment for you guys, in the same way that online, the pressure for accountability has just increased and increased? The same thing is happening in digital out of home now.
Absolutely.
And it's not enough to have a sample. You need like all the nodes.
Yes. Why would you want to have, you know, a vague idea of what's happening on your network? If you're an advertiser, you want to know exactly how your campaign is doing on all the screens. Screens behave differently. We believe they even have a proper DNA for each screen, where it's, you know, small, large, standing next to an escalator, being hidden or, you know, very visible. Yeah. Not all screens are equal. And that's where we started this fight for transparency, because a lot of people would say, oh, don't worry, it's about the same. We say, no, it's not. And basically, we prove it.
Yeah.
And we prove to the advertiser that, you know, their message is being listened to or viewed.
Mm-hmm. Because you're doing that, is there a pretty obvious ROI as a result that, you know, that you're going to pay more for this, but you're actually going to be able to sell more because they trust you?
Absolutely. The and to this point, I mean, from what we've been seeing actually from the online actually, right now, it's not even like a an ROI question. It's a matter of confidence and trust. There's, you know, the digital world, whether mobile display, you know, or desktop, has been plagued by all these issues of viewability. In the digital world, it's very, today, out of 100 advertisements, you know, it's calculated between the fraud, the bots, and miscalculation, only 8% of the advertisement have been viewed. So advertisers do have a real problem. It's not even a problem of ROI. It's a matter of like, you know, do my message, is this money that I'm spending actually, is it actually worth it? Who's watching it? So yes, it's a matter of trust, and it's a matter of confidence that yes, what I'm putting in my advertisement makes sense.
I remember when this stuff first came out, I think it was AUDA suggested that the world should go to a pay-per-click,
right,
or pay-per-view system, so Absolutely. That you only pay money if a view is actually logged for the screen. I remember thinking at the time that would be a nightmare scenario for a lot of billboard operators and so on, because their numbers are inflated.
It's all about, it's all about relative the numbers. If you look basically today, I may be able or may be wanting to pay, as an advertiser, I may be happy to pay a premium if I'm actually reaching the right person, the right target. You know, why would I want to actually pay for a group of people I have no interest, will have never ever buy my product? Just give you an example. We did that for our demo. But, you know, if I'm a glass maker, I'd rather, you know, pay for somebody who has glasses and is, because I'm making glass for women, is in the right age of target and right demographic, rather than passing a random advertisement to a child that's passing by. So, of course, maybe I don't have that. You're not buying really impressions. At the end of the day, you want to buy customers, you want to buy an audience. And that's all about Quviddy.
Okay. I'm curious about the types of data that you've seen and how that's trended. I found it really interesting when this tech first came along that it showed on average, I remember getting a run of all the stuff that Intel had. And on average, it was something like 3.9 seconds. People were looking at a screen, and everybody's producing 15-second and 30-second spots, and I'm thinking that doesn't match up well.
Right. People, I mean, it doesn't really necessarily matter if people watch the whole message. I mean, they're going to be see the message, I mean, during the whole...
if it's designed the right way.
Exactly. So I can confirm to you, yes, the average attention time is not 4 seconds, seems about right. It does vary quite a bit, though, during the venues and the type of screens. We've analyzed actually 10 billion of data, and we've actually categorized that and classified that according to venues, according to different type of screens, and you have actually quite variability built in. That's why actually all this variability is important for the advertiser to understand what he's getting for his money.
So if I'm listening to this, I'm very curious about how it does vary. So can you share some of that?
I would say, again, it varies, of course, during the day, during the locations, during the venues. So I would say there's no simple way to say that. Otherwise, it would be very...
What kind of category has the least attention span?
Attention-wise, I would say probably the something like the bank, for example, the bank retail branch. I don't want to be, it really varies again. You know, you have to understand also the what's the message, what the type of signage as well.
Yeah.
It's going to have. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could have potentially long dwell time, but if it's crappy information, exactly. they're going to look away.
Absolutely.
Have assumptions borne out about areas where there's a longer dwell time, a longer attention time, like waiting rooms?
Oh, we don't do much waiting rooms, to be frank. That's only because, I mean, I would say that it's not very customary to have cameras in waiting rooms.
True.
Even though we don't
true.
Record an image, I guess, you know, patient may be yeah. comfortable. But in general, I would say that, again, it varies quite across the place, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any difference between male and female?
I guess it would depend on the day as well.
Yeah,
it's funny. We had this study we made for a retailer, and we found it was funny that the on the Saint Valentine's Day, everything was very normal, regular, except for the last hour of the day, where the attendee would be mainly male. Guess why?
Running frantically through the store.
Running frantically to find something, you know, before the store closes. So that's kind of...
Some things never change.
Exactly.
I'm curious, you know, we talked about how there were, you know, three or four major quote-unquote companies 10 years ago. Since that time, every year I'll go to a trade show and there'll be a booth with somebody saying, look what we can do. And they're presenting it as though they've invented fire. You know, it's amazing. And I'm looking at it, and other people who've been around the industry are looking at it going, well, that's just... So is that just a distraction for you? Or is it problematic? Because you can get the core capability of this stuff open source, right?
Absolutely. So that's the reason, actually, why we're still here. Because we're pretty much competing with free stuff. So the reason why we're still here is that... we are probably the only company in the world that has actually volume deployment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy. You know, we've suffered, we've been through it, we've learned through it, and every deployment has made us stronger. So everything starts from the design. It's about, I told you earlier, it's all about industrializing something. Yes, initially, the algorithm were very fancy and very unique, but, you know, a lot of things are catching up in general. So if you look, a PhD is a PhD. You know, and you always, yes, we're proud to have very good people, but I'm sure there are other people who will find something very, very smart.
Mm-hmm.
What sets us quite apart has been our ability to define the right product somehow, meaning not only technically or feature-wise, but in terms of performance. You may have more performance, but in that case, if it's too heavy on your costs, then maybe not be that good.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about trade-offs, and Quiddy has always made the trade-off to make a fully industrial solution.
Mm-hmm.
That's tested, that's proven, that's deployed. So, you know, we don't, I mean, if you look at people who are doing this kind of technology, and I salute them, there's literally hundreds of them out there, you know, almost like CMS. If you look at people that have solutions that are deployed in stores, in the networks, that are actually interfacing with the whole ecosystem. Ecosystem starts from brands and the demand side, you know, brands, advertised agencies, all the way to actually the supply side, all the way to the CMS interface with all the hardware that is where it's been deployed, that works with the marketplace with APIs that are able to provide reports and advanced analytic capabilities. Then I would say it's a fairly full-blown solution. It's a fairly industrialized solution, and there's not that many of them out there.
Mm-hmm. Of the capabilities, the one that I've seen marketed probably more than anything else is contextual ad serving.
Mm-hmm.
And you described that one program with GM,
right,
which is quite sophisticated.
Yes.
I've not seen a lot of take up on the more base idea of this, that male serve this ad, female serve this ad, or age range, that sort of thing. Is that something that just doesn't really make a lot of sense, or just hasn't really been done well?
No, I would say that probably, I mean, a lot of people have thought about it, and, you know, it's all about, at the end of the day, it's all about serving an experience.
Mm-hmm.
And we are seeing actually more and more that yes, context is important. If you look at basically, it's not only male, female, it's also comfort of people. If you're, I would say you have glasses or you're older, maybe you want actually bigger font. If you're far from a product or far from a kiosk, maybe you want something which is more visible. So all of that actually capabilities.
So the real time is there. So you could have some poor slob like me with glasses and actually bump up from 10-point to 15-point.
If nobody's watching, maybe I can put something very different. Or I see somebody from the far, say, come closer. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all about interaction and making that process natural to people. So what I described earlier was a bit more on the flashy or wow side.
Yeah.
You know, for example, there's this campaign that was done by WCRS agency at Ocean Outdoor called the Women's Day campaign. And that's something that I always refer to because it's something actually very moving. It's a campaign for women's against violence against mm-hmm. women. And basically there's a woman with a blister on her eye. And the more people are watching, the more the eye heals. You know, it's very powerful. And
yeah.
It's very, very moving. It actually won 2 Golden Lion actually in Cannes actually.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those are actually the one-time type of thing which actually show and bring out the emotion. Of course, in digital signage, you can look into improving the attention, improving the customer experience in general, even in the store. You can imagine like tablets, you can imagine large screens, all sort of formats. And that's open for that. Yeah.
It sounds like a bit of what you're saying is the best application of this technology might be cases where you don't even know it's being applied. It's just very subtle and algorithmically changing things based on what's presenting itself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And how do you get end users to understand that? Because, that's fairly sophisticated thinking.
Eventually, they shouldn't even actually realize that. If they feel the experience, they feel things are better and they don't necessarily have to explain, our approach and something gets different. It gets integrated and it's about the whole customer experience.
But the operators have to figure it out and you've got to educate them.
Absolutely.
Is that a lot of what you do?
We've been doing that more. Again, more lately, we've been really more in the advertising world, communication world, but mm-hmm. there's definitely a work that some of our partners are doing and educating customers locally, because also everything is local. Mm-hmm. So the way people react in various country and cultures are different.
There's, when you started out, that was automated audience measurement, apart from mechanical trips and so on.
Right.
Now there's Wi-Fi sniffing, there's beacons, there's a number of technologies, and there are companies who are mashing all that stuff up mm-hmm. and saying we can give you a much richer picture of things that maybe just video analytics on its own or Wi-Fi sniffing or whatever those things can do can't do. So how do you sell against that?
I don't think we sell against that. Mm-hmm. Of course, we are on the same budget,
right.
We're doing very different things. We provide different information and it suits different kind of people. So for us, if you look at basically the granularity of information and I would say how much information you can get, we're kind of like, we provide actually a path where we know the behavior of people somehow, mm-hmm. but at the same time, we don't know everything about them. And also we are able to measure exhaustively this population. So it's a good trade-off, and that with a barrier of entry which is actually quite low, mm-hmm. and a passive way where basically we are able to measure 100% of people.
Mm-hmm. Is it a this or that thing, or in a lot of ways you'd be better off using multiple technologies if
they would provide different things? Absolutely, we don't provide, for example, necessarily frequency or because we forget people, we don't know them, so mm-hmm. we don't recognize people. However, you are able, we have a great granularity in terms of space and in terms of time. You won't miss people.
Right.
You took a, and as, also the idea is like we are quite specialized in attention. We believe that attention is the next currency, mm-hmm. Because again, it's valuing things. It shows also. It helps understanding what consumers like and don't like, and that's also something we're good at.
Mm-hmm. If we go back 10 years and look at the technology to where it is now, from my lens, seems like the same stuff. I suspect there's one hell of a lot that's different about it. What about the next 5 to 10 years? Is this, has it reached its kind of peak in terms of capabilities, or are we just at kind of at the early points of what's possible?
I don't think it's possible more for CPU, first algorithm, to research. So, you know, you never cease to be amazed by the capabilities that are coming in the future. Today, we've been really, I would say, you know, progressing on the algorithm, but at the same time, I mean, it's about offering a full experience, industrial experience to your customer. Adding new algorithm, you know, is our core, I would say, type of work. So I would say that, yeah, you will be amazing in the next coming years, yeah.
Will it be just more about speed and accuracy or more capabilities?
Probably more capabilities, absolutely, yeah.
And you can tell me all about that right now, right? Because...
Well, we'll have to share that with you later on some other places.
Maybe after you launch it. Probably make more sense. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Enjoyed it.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and learned something. If you want to stay on top of what's happening and actually matters in digital signage, join thousands of readers who visit 16.9, that's 16-9.net, every day. If you like this podcast, please also check out the companion 16.9 podcast called Projects. That's done by Michael Tutton, and there's a new episode every second Friday. 16.9 the blog and now the podcast are properties of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare bedroom in my house near Toronto. Thanks to our podcast sponsor, ScreenFeed, and thank you for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.